Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Herculean Physique with Michael Del Russi. However, before we start, a quick legend of Hercules. Although the tale does not survive, Hercules' encounter with Yeras, known to us as old age, is preserved on ancient pottery. Yeras was said to be a child of Erebus and Nyx, the primordial goddess of night, or sometimes the issue of Nyx alone. As can be expected, in some depictions our hero is engaged in staving off or actively fighting old age. The shriveled and diminutive Yeras doesn't seem to stand a chance. In other depictions, however, the encounter between Hercules and Yeras seems remarkably free of conflict. Almost friendly, they're reaching out toward each other. How do we reconcile these contradictory images? Perhaps they're different points in a greater tale. Perhaps they depict different incidents altogether. Now that I'm in my 60s, with at least half of my life behind me, I'd like to venture a guess. At my age, the impulse to mitigate the effects of aging, which can no longer be ignored, is quite strong. Exercise, supplementation, and diet are recruited, and a variety of cosmetic, emotional, mental, and spiritual techniques are gradually added to our arsenal of weapons until Yeras is kept at bay. Some fight harder with drugs, surgery, or cutting-edge science, also called fringe science. Though the struggle, acceptance eventually emerges, and with it, peace. Embracing old age and facing the finality of all mortal life allows you to appreciate the preciousness of each and every passing moment. When I personally found myself there, I made a promise. Until I die, I resolve to fully live. Onwards. Greetings and welcome, Michael Del Russi. Thank you very much for sharing this adventure with me.
And what a wonderful proclamation that is. Thank you for sharing it with us.
And it's true of all of us, not just a heroic tale for demigods, but all mortals go down this path.
The great thing about this Olympian journey, if you will, I like to call it the journey to Olympian vitality, the golden fleece of Olympian vitality. The excitement comes both from the journey and eventually arriving at a place of what you accurately described as a lifelong peace, whatever years we have left. That's a wonderful, wonderful statement, and it just fits very accurately for all of us.
Well, thank you. And you've done more than most people I know to fight Yeras, and you've done it with supplementation, with exercise, with spirituality, and I'm very honored to be having this discussion with you and for it to be an ongoing thing.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited tonight because I wanted to share what I feel is a very powerful three-stage program, if you will, to help indeed take those daily steps to slow the process of inflammation, which contributes to aging. And I will try to share it on a regular basis for those who have missed it. I believe it's a very effective program, and it's a matter of not stress and strain, but applying a little bit of these techniques on a daily basis and reminding ourselves of them. I would like to open up, if I can, of course, with the Bold Spirits Declaration. And I'd like to just remind everyone that we here at Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts believe that our ultimate destiny is to get the duality of our minds to work as one. When left brain and right brain work together, new insights and better decision-making can lie ahead in every area of our lives. In terms of diet and longevity, this can also be a lifelong truth. Our goal, then, is to use logical mind in assessing the latest anti-aging and disease-fighting strategies, then initiate creative mind in formulating our own personal health program, both with natural supplementation and conventional medical support where appropriate. Our instincts will play the ultimate role in choosing which supplements and how many to be a part of our life extension program. This is where the wisdom of the hemisphere's teachings become so exciting and is forever unfolding. The workings and concepts of the two-chambered mind, we believe, should have been, and we believe should continue to be, a part of our educational system and spiritual doctrines throughout the world. Such are the endless possibilities of thinking out of both sides of the brain and emphasizing it. We have bold spirits that are committed to share the importance of these concepts through our humble ministry and the remainder of our lives. So Thank you for allowing me to share our declaration with everyone. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be sharing with you what our own personal journey to the, seeking the golden fleece of vitality, where it's taking us. I am so excited to know in my heart and my consciousness that some of the techniques and research that we share, some of the individuals that are listening tonight may achieve this information nowhere else but right here where we are today. So that's what just lights the fire of enthusiasm for me. But what I'd like to do right now is review, if I can, what we believe is as an efficient three-stage program to slow the process of degeneration and aging. And we start with inflammation, to slow the effects of inflammation and to avoid or reduce the production of mainly the COX-2 enzyme, which is largely responsible for the inflammation in our physical bodies, would be to avoid red meat or reduce red meat, deli meats, commercial baked goods, palm and cottonseed oil, coconut oil as well, trans fats and white sugar. Now, with each of these recommendations, I'm going to offer my own personal commentary. Why? Because some are not going to accept everything I say as either effective or something that fits into the lifestyle. I put coconut oil. I added coconut oil to this because I agree with many cardiologists that coconut oil is detrimental. It's a very saturated oil. I recently discovered I'm not sure she's from Australia. She is a practicing nurse on some level, but from what I understand, has very little education in the nutritional area. She's endorsing coconut oil and says you could, quote unquote, slop it on everything. I disagree. There's many cardiologists that also disagree with this. So amongst the heavy saturated oils, meaning palm and coconut seed, which unfortunately is added to most of our crackers. I like rich
palm oil especially. It's in everything now.
Yes, and I don't know why they continue to use, well, I know why. Utilize this oil. It's cheap. It's cheap to produce. So palm oil, cottonseed oil, and coconut oil I'm opposed to. That's number one in terms of reducing inflammation. Number two, white flour, all deep-fried foods. Alcohol should be kept to a minimum. I know for some that's very difficult to do. White flour is difficult to do. I had a bagel this morning. I happen to think that bagels are one of the least harmful snacks, if you will. But yes, most of them are pure white flour. But little else. You might have flour, you might have salt, you have yeast. That's about it. But white flour, all deep-fried foods, alcohol should be avoided or kept to a minimum. Part three in our process of reducing inflammation, foods to consume would be vegetables of all types, fish, olive oil, dark chocolate, sweet potatoes, whole grains, vegetable juice, and juices of all types, fruit and poultry. Having said all that, I know that those that are challenged with blood sugar issues, some of these foods may have to be modified. Whole grains is an example, and some fruit juices and fruit may have to be modified. By all means, they should follow their holistic thinking and do so. So then we get to the point where I think it's advantageous to share with the listeners what is systemic inflammation. Systemic inflammation is when the immune system finds itself constantly defending the body through the increased production of C-reactive protein, amongst other chemicals. It is made by the liver, by the way, and increases with the level of inflammation. The COX-2 enzyme also plays a part. It's an indicator of the inflammation on a systemic level. A note I'd like to add here, I've recently discussed with two practicing nurses that I met in my doctor's office. They felt as though the C-reactive protein blood test isn't particularly necessary and will also indicate certain things, but not in terms of an overall general health. I knew an international biochemist that happened to be working in the building that I was working with. He traveled all over the world. And he, and this is before I even researched the subject, he said, if you really want to avoid many types of cancers and inflammation in the arteries, get a C-reactive blood test done every year, so with, along with your other work. So again, this is where creative mind and our own personal research comes in. Here I had two up-and-coming nurse practitioners tell me, well, the C-reactive protein blood test really doesn't mean all that much. And yet I had a worldwide, traveling worldwide biochemist that said, look, get your C-reactive blood test done. It's inexpensive and will tell you how your overall body is doing when it turns to inflammation in the arteries and cellular inflammation as well. I agree with him. It's an inexpensive test. Why not get it? Here we are again. This is where our own personal research and holistic thinking comes in. So I agree with him wholeheartedly, and I encourage everyone, add that to your blood work. It will tell you much about how you're doing. So now we come to stage two of our three-stage anti-aging protocol to slow aging daily, a little bit at a time, on a minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour daily basis, and that's our antioxidants. We all know what most of them are. Vitamin C, vitamin E, garlic, alpha-lipoic acid, the carotenoids, selenium, zinc, vitamin E, and CoQ10. That's not all by any means. There are more. But that's a basic fundamental list. So we know what antioxidants can do. Most conventional practitioners, but not all, are agreeing that antioxidants are essential on some level. These have been shown to combat the environment of free radical activity and oxidation, thereby promoting a carcinogenic-free environment along with curbing the damage caused by inflammation. So that's stage two of our program. As one can see, they work hand in hand. So first we have certain steps to take to avoid inflammation on a daily basis, little steps. You know, a prime example is fried foods. If you're going to have a fried something fried, choose a pan fried as opposed to a deep fried. Little changes that we could make that could make a lot of difference in how our cells are affected and how they react. So that's step two, adding and make sure we have antioxidants on daily program. Stage three is creating a healthy mitochondria. How do we do it? You and I have both researched this in the past, and I know it's definitely worth repeating on a continuous basis, is enhancing a healthy mitochondria, which is the energy source of our cells. That's the powerhouse within our cells. CoQ10, L-carnitine, vitamin B3, also known as NAD, alpha-lipoic acid, and arginine are just a few. And L-carnitine is, as recently is specifically shown, to really enhance the mitochondria, along with all of those nutrients that are important. So these have been shown to enhance energy metabolism while reducing oxidative stress. And we know that oxidative stress continues to be a problem. And, you know, the reality is we'll never be able to avoid it completely. There will always be some. There will always be free radical activity in our bodies. But these steps can go a long way to reducing those processes. So now let's turn, of course, to diet. And you know, the debate continues. I was speaking to two individuals today. They feel that not much deleterious about a diet high in saturated fat. They feel it can help to deal with certain psychological issues, which some studies have shown, and they're doing just fine with it. And I had to respectfully, of course, disagree, and I tried to quote over almost 50 years of studies that have shown that arterial sclerosis and a diet high in saturated fat are directly related to each other. So we can quote study after study. They began to get impatient with me. I was respectful. They weren't. And we ended the conversation. But anyway, I believe a low inflammation diet is one that parallels the Mediterranean diet, the DASH diet, the Dean Ornish diet, and something called the Blue diet, which is also mostly a vegan diet with some fish and light protein added to it. So, you know, and we fully recognize, at least from my humble position, that these diets may need to be modified for one reason or another because of a condition one may be dealing with, and that's fine. That's what utilizing your own divine intuition is all about. So those are the three steps that we believe, if one follows them on a daily basis, calmly, without any anxiety, little by little, making these changes, stage one, stage two, and stage three, we really believe, and I will leave the earth sharing this with as many individuals as I can, will go a long way to adding a few moments, a few hours, maybe a few years to someone's life. The Western diet, we know, the Farmingham study, which is, I don't know how many years that's been, continues to go on even now as we speak, has indicated conclusively that high-fat diet, high-sugar diet, both are deleterious. Both are not good. But at a diet high in animal fat, continue to be the plague of the Western dietary tradition. That's about all I can say. So we have the high meat individuals out there, and it will be up to the individual at the end of the day, hearing my voice right now, to decide where they would want to go and what might serve them best when it comes to their physical and mental health. I just read a study that there may be a strong connection between brain tumors and a high-fat diet. You know, brain tumors are very frightening. Now, it's very difficult to survive a brain tumor. I also have questions about the RF radiation that we're getting from our iPhones. Some say it's not ionic, so there's no evidence that there's really any danger, but I like to hold my cell phone at my iPhone at a distance when I'm talking, whenever possible. I think I feel there may still be a connection. But that's where we are. But a high-fat diet, I just read this study a few days ago, may be connected with the development of brain tumors. So there we are. There we are. There will always be disagreements.
There we are. You know,
but yeah. But I believe that this three-stage program is going to benefit someone out there. A little bit at a time, calmly follow this way. What can I do today to reduce the inflammation in my body? What can I do today? And that's the first and major question in achieving what I feel would be maybe a few years, adding a few years to someone's life.
That sounds like quite a plan. It's very well thought out, and you've experimented with it. I have questions about coconut oil, because coconut oil has seen kind of like a resurgence in terms of its popularity. I think Bulletproof Coffee, which is coconut oil, or MCT oil, which I believe is made from coconut oil, in coffee is supposed to be very good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And coconut oil, I've heard too that you could use it for everything. I'm Greek, and as a fellow Mediterranean, you know that olive oil is usually the oil of choice. But I've been experimenting with coconut oil as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's people that believe in it.
Yeah, many believe I have to look deeper into it. So far, I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about olive oil, except that the olive oil you're buying in the store might not really be olive oil. Sometimes it's mixed in with other things, and you really need to do quality control. And it has nothing to do with price. You could be paying a lot of money for something that isn't real olive oil. So olive oil has this distinct taste, as you know, on your tongue, if it's virgin quality olive oil. So I stick mostly with olive oil, but I've been experimenting with coconut and MCT oil because of the reputation. But I'll look deeper into it. Certainly it's worth another look.
Well, I think that's an area of some concern with this olive oil situation. I think I would only hope that the companies that manufacture olive oil are the ones, the leading manufacturers and importers. I hope that they've gotten the message. And if they are cheating us, so to speak, that they would certainly cease in doing that. I mean, we want pure olive oil when we're seeking to purchase the best that we can obtain. So I'm hoping that those who may be cheating will have gotten the message, because sometimes the free press does work in our favor, and they have gotten the word out. I know that some of the oils that you're talking about, there's something called ghee, which is a pure fat.
Ghee is clarified butter. I first learned of ghee when I read books about Lobsang Rampa, who was supposedly a Tibetan Lama, and he talked about ghee a lot.
Yeah, I know of one situation recently. I learned about this last year, of a gentleman. I don't have his name. I wouldn't mention it anyway, for the sake of privacy. But it was a strong proponent of ghee, and he dropped dead of a heart attack at a fairly young age.
Oh, God.
I would caution everyone, again, to think twice about the ghee situation on a regular basis. It's just my take on it. None of us know how long we have. But, again, I think all this fat in our systems and we're exposing our cardiovascular system, our circulatory system, to this kind of, it can't be any good, in my opinion. And I know there's diverse opinions out there, so I'm not in favor of the ghee phenomenon.
Ghee was too much for me. I tried ghee like a year and a half, 2 years ago maybe, because people were extolling the virtues of ghee. And I knew about the Tibetan connection from my reading of Lobsang Rampa. So I tried ghee. It took forever to go through it. It was so thick and concentrated that it was difficult to eat. So it took quite a while to find its way out of the refrigerator, and we haven't bought it since then. So I crossed that off the list of things to experiment with. And again, mostly everything we cook is in olive oil. I will look into my coconut oil, and if the coconut oil proves to be unhealthy, as you say, I'll go through what little I have on hand till it's gone, and then I just won't replenish it. And in terms of meat, because of the inflammation inherent in some of the diabetes and other conditions that I'm currently wrestling with, I've cut back on red meat. I'm eating red meat maybe 3 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week. And then the other days I'm eating poultry or fish of some sort, be it salmon or tuna or something else. I cut back on a lot of the like bacon and other processed meats. I hardly have any processed meat. Maybe once every 2-3 weeks I'll have a piece of like sausage or something. So I'm finding that that's helped a lot in terms of losing weight even, which wasn't what I was intending to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question that, I mean, the bottom line is we can talk all day about the keto effect and, the ketosis, and I know what the high-fat crowd endorses. But the bottom line is, as other nutritionists have pointed out, fat is still fat. and fat has is higher in calories than carbs and protein. That's the bottom line. They can talk all day about the ketosis effect. And what they fail to mention, in my opinion, is that, again, once you move into ketosis, yes, people will lose weight, no question. But you also it has been shown to be very inflammatory to the body to remain in ketosis for too long. There's certain aspects of our metabolic process that, you know, we can't escape. You know, all of our bodies work differently. So I personally believe losing weight, attempting to lose weight and get healthier, quote unquote, by moving into ketosis and eliminating virtually all and most carbohydrates is a big mistake. And another thing I would like to point out, and it certainly grabbed my attention, that the rates, and this is really frightening, the rates of, and I think I may have mentioned this a year ago, the rates of many cancers, especially colon cancer, has risen substantially, I'd say, over the last 2 years. That's an approximate. People can do their research in young people. And I've always wondered and continue to wonder if this encouragement, which is nationwide, that eating fat, all the fat, you know, fat's okay now. There's nothing wrong with eating fat. Maybe they're getting this information from their parents. Maybe their parents are adopting this dietary approach, or their uncles, or their aunts, or their grandparents. There's no problem. You know, get the bacon, get the sausage, and there may or may not be a correlation, but sometimes two and two do make four. And there's been since the high fat fad, which is interesting, the rate of colon cancer in young people is on the rise. Is it coincidence? Could be, but again, they're not getting much in the way of roughage. Fiber continues to be a health-enhancing substance, and we know it. And I've just read a brand new research about the effectiveness of IP6, which I'm continuing to share with oncologists with every opportunity I that comes my way. And the lack of fiber, and now we have all of this fat, which our young people evidently are encouraging. It's no, the latest studies show fat is fine. Animal fat's not going to bother you, and you may lose. Eat all the, you know, don't worry about eating that sausage. Don't worry about eating those fried French fries. And the rate, alarmingly, specifically of colon cancer is on the rise in young people. Coincidence? Could be. But it's something to look at. Again, I like to think it's utilizing both hemispheres of the mind, utilizing the wisdom of the hemispheres to take a look at this picture. So, again, here's something else that maybe perhaps people should be thinking about.
Oh, very, very true. I examine my medications that I'm prescribed for my diabetes, for instance, and for my age. And I had a very, I don't know if I've shared this or not, but I had a very bad reaction to a new medication they prescribed for me. Fortunately, I decided to look it up online, and I found that I had all the unusual and rare symptoms. The only ones that I didn't have were coma and death. So I stopped taking it right away. But yeah, I was getting weird symptoms. I felt clammy and sweaty, and I was getting chills, and my voice was doing weird things over like a host of days. And I remember telling my wife, I wonder what's going on. You know, I felt like a radio station and somebody kept changing the dial. And I found that amongst the rare symptoms for this medication. So I stopped taking it and felt better within a few days. And I told my pharmacist never, you know, to flag that so that if anybody else ever prescribes that for me, just say no. Another medication was prescribed instead. And I read the descriptions of that and what some of the dangers of it are, and it's like if I took this medication, even if it helped me with the issues that it was being prescribed for, it could destroy the beta cells in my pancreas.
Oh my goodness!
I said I'm not taking this either. I'm not, just not taking it. Well, you've seen the commercials on TV or on the computer where they show you happy people living happy lives, and then they tell you all of the things that the medication can do, and the warnings tell of a condition much worse than what you're helping with the medication.
Yeah, and one of them is death.
And yeah, usually one of them is death or something. And I can't understand they tell you to discontinue if you're allergic to it. Well, how do you know if you're allergic to it unless you have an allergic reaction to, you know?
And then on top of that, once you're in that allergic reaction mode, how severe will that be? Suppose you don't survive that allergic reaction. To come back and say, look, this is not for me. This is not something I can continue with. You know, they talk as if everyone is going to survive it. You know, suppose the reaction is so severe, you're gone. You know, I don't understand. I just don't know what all of the supposed educated individuals we have in the medical community and the research that supposedly they're constantly doing. How do we separate this? How do we continue to, and there's those in Washington that today as we speak are still attempting to go after certain natural substances, which continue by year after year. We know the actual death of those taking a specific supplement is practically nil. And yet they'll scrutinize natural supplementation, and yet drugs like this will be allowed on the market continuously. Because as you pointed out, they may help a certain symptom even. But look at the risks that are involved. I am amazed at this wonderful environment that we live in, that is prospering us so tremendously. And yet we have this, it's almost an insult to the intelligence of any human being, that they will discourage you from putting certain nutritional compounds together that may really help you and enhance your metabolism, and yet push the sale of pharmaceuticals like this. I have no answers. And if somebody can explain it to me that makes sense, I'm all ears. Because I do not understand it. I don't understand how they can justify this.
Well, we've talked before, and part of the problem, at least from where I stand, is that the supplement industry isn't regulated. So they don't have to tell the truth, you know. They're considered food, and as long as they back themselves up with the disclaimer that it hasn't been, their claims haven't been validated by the Food and Drug Administration, they can put anything they want on the label. And some of the companies are, like, exaggerate about the ingredients. Even food companies do this. I think they find a percentage of food companies that are exaggerating the ingredients to look more favorable that you're getting in the food that is packaged, but also in terms of vitamins. They get around that by stating the proprietary formulas. So they could tell you what's in the proprietary formula, but not the amounts. So the amount that might be helpful to a particular substance might be very little. Or it might come from a source that isn't very bioavailable to you. And navigating through it is very difficult. Some vitamin companies, like the ones that you point out, self-regulate. They belong to organizations that actually regulate them. But then there's problems with the regulating labs as well. The regulating labs aren't always accurate. And I've seen reports and videos going over that particular problem. So I think that's part of the, we don't know what we're getting. And although I'm grateful for all the things that modern medicine has brought to us, and I've certainly benefited as a family and friends and people I know from the miracles of medical profession, they're seeped in scandals also, the big pharmaceutical companies and so forth. There's all sorts of atrocities that can be laid at their door. So it's very difficult for somebody trying to remain healthy to navigate through all that information. And we could all just make the wisest decisions we can make at any given particular point of time. And just to recognize that everything we know at any given moment might be totally wrong, but we have to make decisions. So we could only make the best decisions that we can make. That's helped me forgive a lot of people too, for things that have happened in life. It's like, I tell myself, they did the best they could with who they are and what they know at that particular moment in time. So, I know that we change, I know that we evolve, I know that we grow, So that allowed me the same directional guidance that I use to navigate through situations. Occasionally I'll look at my past and let go of a lot of things that I might still be carrying around and not very aware of.
You know, there's some key points. You made some key points there. And I love the statement you just made, because in New Thought Christianity, I'm not going to say Christianity, because I've been involved in enough of the metaphysical community in all areas, including, which I'm doing right now, examining some of these spiritual books that are talked about at length on your program, to know that there is some wisdom that comes out of some of these areas. What you said right now was always a proclamation from Unity Church. Unity is really considered a metaphysical church founded by Charles Fillmore. I forget the name of his wife. I think they were originally based in Missouri, but they're considered a metaphysical church, much like Science of Mind with Ernest Holmes. A wonderful, wonderful church. I used to go quite frequently. That was one of their proclamations, that when we get upset, when we're angry with someone, once we feel someone has betrayed us or hurt us, we have to step back and remind ourselves that everyone, including these individuals, are pretty much doing the best they can from where they are. And that's the truth. You know, I think, you know, we're not going to change the genetic makeup of their character. I mean, can we change certain bad behavior? Yes, absolutely. If we want to, we can. Even some of that bad behavior that is inherent in our genes, which it is, because the bottom line is we inherit everything, including some of the behavioral traits of our parents and our ancestors, which are not bad. I shouldn't use the term bad, but are challenging. I'll say challenging. So, you know, I like that, and you just coined it. You just coined the phrase, and I think it was very appropriate. And I have to remind myself of that on a daily basis. When I go before my prayer area, my altar, if you will, I have sometimes I'm very upset about a number of things, and I have to remind myself of what you just said, that everybody, including those individuals, are pretty much doing the best from where they are. So we can't change them. We have to try to change us in that area. And the second point, the other point that you made is, you know, it's all a matter of trust. Yes, there's vitamin companies that cheat on their ingredients. Some have been caught, and we know that. Some have been caught. I'm not a big believer in certain retailers out there right now, one in particular, who does a lot of advertising about male enhancement supplements, and you can get a bottle for free. I don't trust that particular company. I won't name them right now. They know who they are. But there's other companies that are tried and true. I like Nature's Way, especially when it comes to basically standardized herbs. I think they're good. They have high-quality supplements. And there's others. Swanson, for the most part, the supplements are fairly trustworthy. So, you know, it's a matter of following our instincts, because we really don't know for sure. But I would still trust that the natural supplement industry as a whole, that we're getting, for the most part, at least in ingredients that aren't going to kill us. At least that's what the records are showing. So, but I agree with you in both areas, both in the natural healing industry and the conventional pharmaceutical industry, where we can never be really sure of what's happening. You know, we have to follow our intuition for the most part.
And I'll cite this. I've shared this many times before. With my eyes, as I'm getting older, my eyes aren't what they used to be, and they can't handle as much reading and watching of things as they used to. And I found that taking Ocuvites, the formulation for adults 50 and over, and occasionally fish oil mostly every day. I think the Ocuvites every day, the fish oil almost every day, and then vitamin A once a week or so. And so far I'm finding that as long as I stick to that, My eyes, although still they're still not what they were years ago, they're a lot better than they are without the without these things. And I know my ophthalmologist, when I go for my appointment, I wanted to go on studies for different types of techniques and so forth to try to improve it. And he told me I didn't qualify, and I asked him why not, and he said because my eyes are not degenerating fast enough; they're very slow.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, that's great news. So, you've heard me stop that regimen how many times? Dozens of times. I'll stop taking it for like a month to see what'll happen, and again, my eyes get blurrier and I get more sensitive to light, and things are darker in darkness. But I've tested that so many times, and now I can say with confidence that I don't have to test that anymore. You know, that seems to be true. Mm-hmm. If anything changes as I get older, I might have to play with it again to see how much I need, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But for now, I found what works for my eyes. And what I've done is I wanted to focus on my sugar numbers. So I discontinued most of the other vitamins, except for the ones like B-complex, B12, vitamin C, and berberine, and bitter melon, you know, things that affect the diabetes directly in the blood sugar. So I've reduced it substantially over the past couple of months. And for an entire month, it's been in the hundreds range. And it's been going down steadily from the high hundreds to the mid hundreds. Now it's in the low hundreds. So I know that if I keep this up, eventually we'll get into the double digits. And then I have to confront another reality. Once you get to the double digits, you're in danger of hypoglycemia, which can kill you.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job, though, in terms of lowering your blood sugar naturally. Are you on metformin at all?
Yes, I'm on metformin, and then I'm on a blood pressure vitamin, which confuses a blood pressure medication, which confuses me because I've never had high blood pressure, so I don't know why I'm taking that. I question it all the time. I research it, and I'll stop it. Sometimes I'll take it every other day. Sometimes I'll stop for a week or two, because again, I don't totally trust it.
Right. I think it's wise, as long as you're not reaching it, you're in a critical situation, to go the every other day route. Of course, your doctor will probably not recommend that, by any means, but it's good as long as you're not in a crisis situation. I think it's good to consider utilizing it every other day. I've been struggling with my blood pressure lately throughout the day. I'm utilizing Xanax, 5 milligrams, which is very little, 0.5 milligrams. And I have found almost without exception, it drops my blood pressure 12, sometimes as low as 15 points.
Wow.
Which shows me that my problem continues to be anxiety. As much as I try to utilize meditation and prayer, not as all the meditation I could certainly increase, which proves to me without a shadow of a doubt, anxiety is my problem. All my other blood work, my lipid numbers came back great this past year, probably as good as anything I've ever had. So it doesn't appear to be a heart issue, not yet anyway. So it looks to me like my nerves, my stress, is the main cause of the increase in my blood pressure. So if I have to take a Xanax, I will, but I don't like to take it every day. So if I'm handling things pretty well, by the time I go to bed, if my blood pressure is within a decent range, I won't take the Xanax. I'll take my magnesium, fish oil, some of the other nutrients. I try to avoid calcium because I get enough calcium from other areas. So I see exactly what you're saying. So I think the every other day system can be very useful and appropriate for us at certain times.
Yes, I know. My doctor's not happy with it, and she tells me I'm a bad patient, and I guess I am from her perspective. But I'm thinking, too, that if I'm in the low hundreds now, I will be in the double digits in the not-too-distant future. It could be a couple of weeks. It could be a couple of months. But I've reduced it substantially. Stopped worrying about my sugar because I had to find, I built gastrointestinal condition, and I had to solve that because that was pain in the emergency room. So I had to find a diet that worked with that. And it took a while to find it. So my blood went up. I wasn't focusing on a diet to keep my blood down. So then once I took care of the gastrointestinal problems, then I started focusing on my sugar again. I was able to, you know, quickly reduce it, and it's continued to be reduced. But I will have to deal with that eventuality because I've been on this rodeo, you know, for over 10 years I've been on this ride. So I know how it goes. I'll be in the double digits, you know, by the end of the year, definitely, consistently. And then hypoglycemia, you know, can kill me. I don't want to die. And I need, if you take the medication, at the time when you're in the double digits, your chance of dying from taking medications is higher than dying by not taking medications. So I have to figure out a way of transitioning from medications to less medications to no medications. In Pennsylvania, when I did this, I did benefit from like a keto type diet. I went on the Atkins diet, which is, again, like a high-fat, high-protein, low-carb diet, and I was able to reduce not only my blood sugar level and my A1C, but my healthy fats. I was able to reduce my bad fats and up my healthy fats, and my blood fat level was fine. And I did it by eating fats, you know, like meat fats, mostly. But as I find over the 10 years, that doesn't work. That extreme type of thing doesn't work anymore. Because I've been on that ride before. So now I'm eating less meat and less animal fat. I'm trying to up my olive oil if I need fat in something. Because and again, like I said, I'm experimenting with the coconut oil.
I wanted to ask also. Now there's a diet out there that I know one doctor's been promoting for years. He seems to feel very good results in terms of blood sugar. And he calls it the salad and salmon diet. I don't know. Do you like fish? Have you tried to lean more toward a fish and salad diet? I don't know, beans might be a problem as far as your blood sugar, but have you looked in that direction at all?
Yeah, we have dumped so much radioactive stuff and oil in the oceans and plastics in the oceans that I don't trust the suitability for consumption of things that come out of the ocean as much as I used to. But I'm Greek. I was raised on lots of fish, you know, prepared in a variety of different ways. So I wouldn't mind eating a fish. As it is, once or twice a week now I eat fish. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to, like, define my meals so to make it easier to prepare food. And I find that if I have a piece of meat and a salad or some greens, that's a good enough meal, whether for lunch or for dinner. And I started getting, like, hamburger patties, like beef hamburger patties, salmon patties or salmon fillets, and chicken or turkey burgers, and that's like what I eat. Sometimes I'll eat vegetables and a salad, sometimes just a salad, but I find if I have like a 2-3 ingredient dinner, two of them being like vegetables, or one being a vegetable, one being a fruit, a low glycemic index fruit, and then whatever meat I have, then that's usually fine, and it doesn't spike my sugar in any way.
Now, let me ask if I can. You've had mixed results in terms of beans. I'm a bean lover. Being a vegan, beans are the substance of my diet. And I think if I recall correctly, you've indicated you've had, not great experience with beans. Could you share that with us?
Sure. The beans, I might be sensitive to leptins. I don't know. I never got tested for it, so I'm not really sure. But I know that if beans are in the same category as like cherries, I love cherries. So I put beans in the same category, cherries and some type of nuts, you know, that they're not the optimal thing for me to eat. They're not even a good thing for me to eat, you know, very often. But every now and then I'll allow myself to have just a little bit. I do the same thing with like tortillas. I love Mexican food. They have tortillas that have very low carbs and very low fat. And they have like vegetable tortillas like spinach. So I'll prefer those, but I won't rule out the tortilla. I'll have Scandinavian seed crackers, which have a little bit of flour in them, but very, very little. It's mostly seeds. So I keep those things in my diet a little bit, but as less often than treats even, you know, just something that occasionally I like some fresh cherries or frozen cherries. Occasionally I'd like some beans, usually with Mexican food.
Okay. Well, it certainly sounds good. I know that when it comes to beans, and I've counseled with people who, of course, have sugar issues, if they say that, if they indicate they'd still like to try them, I know that kidney beans, as opposed to most others, are fairly low on the glycemic index. So I always tell people experiment a little bit with red kidney beans. I know some people actually make little burgers out of them. Kidney beans seem to be a little better in terms of the sugar effect.
Those are my beans of choice. I have beans. Red kidney beans.
Red beans. Yes. Well, you're making the right choice. Yeah, because they seem to be preferable. So, but I think beans are some of the overall the healthiest foods on Earth, on the planet. But beans are a wonderful gift to us. So if we can find ones that, you know, our bodies respond positively to, that's a good thing also. But, it's obvious that you're watching the balance, and that's part of this journey. That's part of our Olympian journey here when it comes to aging and aging well. And it sounds like you really do everything you can to monitor things closely. And I think we have to look at it as an adventure. It's an Olympian challenge to see what we can do to age gracefully and age well. You know, we don't have to age badly, as most of Western society is contributing to that, unfortunately, with the foods and what have you that they promote. We don't have to do it. So I love what you're doing, and I hope this movement will continue aggressively as we move forward.
Oh, I'm certainly dedicated to it. I know you are. So we're going to be discussing this, and I'm slowly starting to invite other people. I'm thinking of inviting other people like Diana Monford. What do you call it? Mm-hmm. She looks very, very youthful and acts very youthful. So getting her secrets will well be worth getting. Nick Curto's in his 80s, I believe, and he manages to remain very youthful as well. I don't know if you're aware of Transformetrics by John Griffin.
I'm not aware of that system.
And we had Richard Gibbs, who wrote the Mount Olympus lifestyle. I've had him on the show a few times. And then, of course, we have Bill Hinburn, who has super strength training. Brian Walker from the Sword and Sandal Cinema. He tries to remain youthful and healthy. So I'm thinking of, in addition to our conversation with each other, to include other people in on the conversation. And then, of course, you're welcome to interview them as well if you wish.
I would love that. I would love to be a part of that. Absolutely.
Now, our conversation for today is almost at an end, and it was a great conversation. Thank you for all the information you shared and all the insight and, you know, your outlook and your insights are amazing. What words would you like to leave people with until the next time we continue this conversation?
Well, for me personally, based on my almost, I guess, 40 years in this field at this point, is to just keep our three-step protocol in mind for slowing aging on a daily basis, and most of all, what you can be done to reduce inflammation. I'd like to continue to share our three-step protocol for slowing inflammation and fighting free radical activity. I think it's worth it. I'm hoping to get this specific three-step program in print. It would be, you know, just a one-page laminated a program that people can refer to instantly. And I think that would be, by the way, that would be totally free. Haven't gotten to there yet. But that's my next goal, if you will. So they can quickly refer to it. Okay, what steps can I take to reduce inflammation today in terms of my lunch, my breakfast, my supper? What can I do? I think it would be worth it. And perhaps someday our physicians' offices will offer some of this information that would be of great value to the overall health of their patients. Maybe that's in our future, hopefully.
That would be great. And if not, we contributed to the store of knowledge by consciously and diligently pursuing different ideas that we thought would be healthy, and then seeing what happened and making adjustments, and rather than just accepting what we're told.
Absolutely, and that's what our research is all about. It's very, very exciting because there's knowledge, there's substance, and there's studies behind everything we're sharing. This is not information that's just coming out of our imagination. There's studies to support a lot of the information we're sharing. But at the end of the day, it's the holistic thinking of the listener that will ultimately tell their story.
So may the story continue to be told. May it unfold. And how can people reach you and tap into your knowledge and your ministry?
Well, I have a creative health manual that I'm very proud of. It deals with the holistic mind, and I call it the art and life extension of creative thinking, of holistic mind. It has everything in it, from herbs, essential oils, a diet that we personally believe in and recommend, a short history of homeopathy and how natural healing all began, even in terms of glandular therapy, which even though I'm a vegan, I believe there is authenticity to treating certain conditions with glandular supplements. Everything is in there. So it's $7 per copy. And if they'd like one, they can send a check or money order to Bolt to Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. It's my creative health manual. They can also see it on my Facebook. And I think it's well worth adding to anyone's health library.
As do I. It's a great work, and you're the works as well. Your ascension chart, your poetry, very powerfully written. I wish you had your old UFO stuff still from your zine that you created with your brother.
Oh, I certainly wish that as well. Unfortunately, that's left to the caverns of posterity out there somewhere. So much has been lost and moving and what have you, but thank you. I wish I had that as well.
Thank you, my friend, for everything. I enjoyed our conversation as always, and I look forward to our next one. And thanks to our wonderful audience for tuning in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in your in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And thank you again, my friend.
Thank you, and I feel the same. May everyone have a healthy and happy life, and we appreciate the time together.
Good night, everybody.